Then it is 3:32 p.m. And I call this meeting to order. Stephanie, can you take roll call?
Yep, absolutely. Sue Krager. I think Derek Espadas.
Present.
Zach Koval.
Present.
Ray Jordan. Lily Bogan.
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are. Present.
Okay, we have quorum.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. So we will move right into our first agenda item, which is taking a look-see and possible approval of our prior meeting minutes from last month of February. Did all commissioners present have a chance to review those minutes? I had a couple slight edits, and but did any commissioners on that meeting have changes or edits themselves after looking that over? Okay.
I read through it real quickly, and I don't have any edits from my end.
Thank you, Ms. Bogan. Stephanie, I did have a couple, just a couple quick changes or edits. It looks like you listed Sophia Gonzalez as Complete Streets Coordinating Council staff. I believe Ms. Gonzalez is a member of CODI. She's not employed or a member of the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. Gosh, that's a mouthful, but she's not an employee of the city. So, I noticed that, like, in the call to the audience section, you noted that Commissioner Derbyshire introduced himself, and then you also listed Sean Doherty, who introduced himself, but Sean Doherty wasn't in the list of people present, so maybe just adding him, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I skipped agenda item number two. We'll go back to that in my role, usual role. Are there any other changes? Otherwise, I would be looking for a motion from one of the commissioners for approval of the minutes with those noted changes.
So, Commissioner Espadas, I move that we accept the minutes with changes.
Commissioner Bogan, second.
Awesome. Thank you to both of you. Stephanie, if there are no other changes, can you take roll call?
Yep. Derek Espadas?
Yep.
Zach Koval?
Yep.
Lily Bogan?
Yes.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Present.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. And now we'll actually go back to agenda item number two. I'm sorry, Mr. Derbyshire. I was going to give you a chance to introduce yourself as you are a new commissioner on CODI. For Ward 2, if you'd like to spend a few minutes and tell us what you're passionate about, why you wanted to join, you know, anything you want to share.
Okay, great. And thanks. And I just realized I was supposed to say yes instead of present to the vote. Oops. Okay, so I'm getting with the flow. And so my name is Wesley Derbyshire. I've been a resident of Tucson since 2007. And I specifically moved to Tucson actually because I'm legally blind and it was much easier for me to get around here than it was in my home state of New Jersey. And that was the primary reason. The secondary reason was I did have family here. And then the third reason was there's no snow and no ice effectively, which means that my likelihood of falling on slipping on the pavement is next to nil. So I joined this committee because I actually walked across America in 1990 before I was legally blind. And I am a passionate pedestrian. And I believe that the access to our roadways should be given equally to all forms of movement, be it pedestrian, cyclists, cars, motorcyclists, et cetera, public transit. And I don't actually fully see that in Tucson. And as a matter of fact, I've seen a lot of issues in Tucson that pedestrians specifically are faced with. And that really concerns me greatly. And having been here 17 years, as a pedestrian, I've, you know, known a couple of people who have lost their lives, in car, you know, cars striking the pedestrians. And one was a blind mother and her daughter, and another was a senior person who lives at an assisted living facility. And I almost have been struck at least, probably a half dozen to a dozen times in the city by cars that are moving too fast. And, so that's another aspect of where I come from. Is I really see, a divergence in the way that our roadways are managed, and such. And then secondarily, I am a Sunvan user. You know, for specifically for places that I cannot find because of my limited vision. And so, you know, I certainly have opinions about that and how well the service works or doesn't work. And that's, you know, why when I was asked to join the committee, I stepped in back last fall, took a listen, and then came back in and you know, decided to move forward with it. So thank you for inviting me to join, and I'm glad to be appointed by Paul Cunningham. And that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Derbyshire. I think you're in good company among the commissioners and probably the attendees and of the meeting in some capacity about caring passionately about pedestrian access and our roadways, infrastructure, and crossings, and public safety in that capacity, and that along with transportation, I think, is going to be a big topic for Cody in the upcoming months. So I appreciate that. While I got disconnected just briefly while I was trying to find something. So I'm going to pull up the agenda. So next on our agenda would be the call to the public. This is the portion of the meeting that if you are not a commissioner of Cody, this is your opportunity to share a few minutes of your concerns, issues you're having, or just introduce yourself. We're happy to have you. I know there's several people that are not commissioners on the call. So if someone would like to speak on what they're passionate about, you know, please feel free. The floor is yours.
I would like to take the opportunity to say something if I could.
Yes, Ms. Hill.
Yeah, that's it. My name is Alicia Howell, and it's not my first time introducing myself to this group. Probably won't be the last, but I just wanted to share a recent concern, and that is I'm in the camp of Wesley here. I am a legally blind denizen of Tucson, having a really hard time with that. In late January, fell on the sidewalks in West University, one of the most densely populated areas of the city where I must live in order to get to work, and I broke my ankle. I was given the runaround by the city, and I produced a report of 25 sidewalk code violations and accessibility issues that are like along the normal routes to my house. I think some of you may have seen that report. If you have not, I would be delighted to send it to you. But that's kind of my soapbox from now on. So I am here and listening, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hell, for sharing. I have been made aware of your report, and I also saw your op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star, I believe, from earlier this year. I appreciate both of those things and you sharing. I will say that, as chairperson, we only, as Cody, we only have monthly meetings and trying to get, city staff involved. And, I do part of the plan that, we set out last, May approximately, or May or June, I'd have to look back at the minutes, is to go around to different departments, in the city that have a large, large concerns with disabled people, to talk to them about their service and how they function. And, two of those entities that, I will probably ask to join us in the coming 2 to 3 months, just based on their availability and who I can get a hold of, are planning and development and code enforcement, since they, do similar jobs, but they, planning and development handles new development and code enforcement handles existing development and enforcing code. So, I would love to have you join us and communicate more with us. And, we also.
Oh, I'll be there, Zach. Don't worry.
I'm sure you will. Thank you. Thank you very much. I do want to make sure that if anyone else, who's joined us, wants to speak, from the public, now's your time, even if it's just an introduction. Mm-hmm. So.
I would like to, if I can, introduce myself. So I'm Juan Cruz. I'm an engineering project manager with the City of Tucson Department of Transportation. I was recently hired in September of last year. So at the very end of last year, before I came to the city, I spent 19 years with a private, firm here in town, doing, roadway design and ADA design. I spent the last 5 years of my time with the private company working specifically on ADA curb ramp projects and other types of ADA infrastructure. But it was for the state of Oregon. When I saw the opportunity to come to the city, I started getting really passionate about it, about ADA design. And so I saw an opportunity to come to the city. And I wanted to bring that passion and that knowledge to the city of Tucson because I saw that it was lacking just from as a public person, so about a couple of weeks ago, I started asking around the department if there was a liaison type of person within our Department of Transportation that was a liaison for ADA, organizations and stuff like that, groups, schools around town. And no one, and everyone said, no, I don't think so. That would be a good thing to look into. And to me, that was surprising, but not surprising because I could tell. So I took it upon myself to start reaching out to everyone. I reached out to Zach. I've reached out to Savi. I'm trying to reach out to all these organizations. My goal, is to not just attend meetings like this and just hear what the public says, but I want to try to create some type of, whether it's a bi-weekly type of meeting or maybe it's just coffee in the morning with folks from different organizations to just keep that relationship really close, hear what people have to do. I mean, what people have to say and try to get those things implemented in our public infrastructure. The other big thing, that I want to see is that we not just at the city, we don't just design per PROAC just because the law says it. We're going to meet those PROAC standards and the ADA standards, but I want to take it a step further and try to see if there's specific needs within our local community, that we need to be designing for, and to make sure, like, you know, I heard the last lady that spoke, you know, hearing about the sidewalks in a certain section of town, you know, people don't, you know, us as designers and planners, we don't know those things, the infrastructure that's torn up and not meeting ADA, you know, requirements. We don't know that unless we hear it from the public, but we also can't just listen to it and hear it. We got to go make sure we tell the folks, within the city that, hey, that this needs to be repaired, like, right now. So that's kind of my goal, is just to kind of bridge that gap and make sure that we have, someone that can be a voice for people with disabilities. And, I just one more quick thing. The other thing that kind of got to me was I noticed that the planning folks and the folks at the city, they have a really good community, relationship with the bicycling community. And so it always kind of threw me off that, hey, we should be having the same relationship with folks with disabilities, especially if not more, you know, more so. So that's the kind of relationship I want to have, with our community, with people with disabilities. I want to have that kind of, relationship that we do with the bicycling community. That makes sense. So, and that's it. I'm sorry. That was a long spiel.
No problem, Mr. Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I know we will be speaking, tomorrow, together, but I would greatly appreciate your presence maybe at the next Cody meeting, so we have a more dedicated agenda item to you, so we can spend more time together. And give the opportunity for feedback and conversation. I'm sure most of the other commissioners on the line would greatly welcome that as well.
Just very briefly, Zach, this is Chris Esbro, city staff, council member Cunningham, Ward 2. Just to let the commission know that I connected with Ms. Howe yesterday, and her issues, her report has actually have been escalated internally to the incoming city manager, as well as the director for transportation and the assistant city manager who looks after code enforcement. And to my colleague from DTN, Mr. Cruz, please feel free to look me up on Outlook and drop me an email. I'd like to connect with you. Our office, Ward 2, under the guidance of Paul Cunningham, we are the only constituency office in the city that actively seeks to advocate for quality of life improvements for residents with disabilities within the city, as well as actively looking to make policy changes and disability acceptance more prevalent within the city organization. So please feel free to connect with me, Mr. Cruz, on Outlook, and I'd like to connect. Thanks, everybody, for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Desborough. Really appreciate both of you. Given that we are kind of running a few minutes behind, I do want to move to our next agenda item number 5, which is the presentation and discussion of Sunvan comprehensive analysis and SunTran busing update with Department of Transportation and Mobility representatives. I believe I noticed Mr. Manigan, and sorry if I'm butchering your last name, on the call, but I don't know if there's any other folks. You know, please introduce yourselves, and if you have a presentation to share, now would be a great time to share. Thank you.
Sure. Good afternoon. I'm Sean Mangan, and I'm the AGM at Sunvan. So yes, we are in the midst of getting a comprehensive operations analysis off the ground. In fact, the survey is now available to the public to take, you can access that on the SunTran website, and by clicking on the Sunvan tab at the top, and then there's a link to the survey. We've already gotten some results back. They're beginning to compile the results and the data, and so that's just part of the public outreach regarding the COA. And so there's several components, as I understand it, and just to clarify, I'm not the lead in a sense. There's a person at the city who's leading the charge, but I'm certainly involved, and we have marketing staff also at SunTran involved in the COA. And a company that assisted with the SunTran COA last year and early this year, the same company is being tabbed to help us with the SunVan COA. So having said that, so the components of the COA basically began with, in a sense, with a peer review analysis. So we're looking at other systems around the country and comparing our service with theirs regarding certain metrics. And that process has been underway for a bit here. And that kind of lays the groundwork, in a sense, for us in terms of kind of looking in the mirror, in a sense, and seeing what we look like in relation to other agencies that operate paratransit service. So there's that aspect, and there's also a SunVan service evaluation, and the survey is part of that. So we're looking at policies, procedures, service and coverage evaluation, and a customer evaluation, and also performance analysis. So those are the key components of the service evaluation. And again, I would encourage those on the call, and if you know of others who would want to take part in the survey, they're welcome to do that. And there's going to be, in terms of public outreach, 6 public meetings that are planned in early April, April 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 8th, and 9th. And those will all be venues such as the Tucson Ward 2 Council Office on East Broadway, the Clements Center, El Rio Neighborhood Center, Quincy Douglas Center, Tucson Ward 6 Council Office, and the Woods Memorial Library as well. And in addition to that, there will be 2 virtual online meetings taking place on April 2nd and April 9th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. So those are the dates. That you can also see those dates on the website under the SunVan tab. And so that's a critical component of the COA, and that's gathering that public input. Once the public input is gathered and also the service evaluation is completed, there will be recommendations made regarding the path forward, basically, and items that need further attention and those kinds of things. In broad brushstrokes, that's basically what the COA will encompass. There will be a COA, as I said, kind of a evaluation at the end and a report, and then recommendations basically made to the city and to us as to improvements that can be made in our system. So,
I know I have several questions, like some for clarity and just some out of curiosity, but, I would welcome other commissioners to ask their questions or, if they want to share, please do before I, engage in my questions. I'm seeing shaking of heads. Mr. Derbyshire, it looks like you're unmuting yourself.
Yeah. Derbyshire here. So my question is regarding the SunVan app. That app has been problematic for me, and I'm wondering if that is a part of the, it's the review process. And most specifically, I'll just share one item as a blind user that makes it very difficult to use the app and that seems so absurd to me, and that is that I have to log in each time that I go to the app instead of using Face ID on my phone, which is customary with pretty much every other app that I've used. And then the other thing is, just as a side note too, is if my ride is coming in like 15 minutes, I want to see how close to the start of the window the ride is coming. So I'll check it maybe 15 or 20 minutes before, but the app knocks me off after 30 minutes, which means that if actually it's arriving later in the window, I have to then again go re-log into the app. So I'm hoping that part of your review process includes this app. That's what I'm saying and asking. Thank you.
Yeah, those are great thoughts. And you're absolutely right. It can be definitely part of the COA process and any feedback you might have, through the survey tool. And so, and in terms of having to log in each time you want to use the app and using facial recognition, I did approach the developers about that question, I think last year, and they indicated that the current iteration of the app does not allow for that. Basically, that was their answer. And I thought, you know, as you thought, Mr. Derbyshire, well, it just seems so routine in nature. Why not build that into the app as a feature? Well, it could be in future upgrades of the app that will be something that they improve upon. But at this time, they're not able to offer that that feature. And then I can certainly report about the app knocking you out after 30 minutes. That I hadn't heard. And so I'll pass that along to Trapeze, the developer, and let them know about that. So I'm certainly that can be a part of the survey feedback that you provide. And I'll also make note of it myself and bring it to the attention of the of those conducting the survey as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Derbyshire, for those questions and thoughtful comments. We all want our electronic apps to function well and be actually user-friendly for us, especially when we rely on transportation with them. I want to make sure, you know, all commissioners have a chance to speak. Ms. Bogan, did you have any questions at this time? If you don't, it's fine. I just want to make it accessible for you if you do. If you don't, I'll go on with my questions. If you do think of some, go right ahead and interrupt me. Sean, can you tell us, there's a few things. So do you know when the survey ends? Like, is there a deadline to complete the survey, just so we can share with constituents?
I'll find that out. I had that question. It was just uploaded to the website today, the link. And so I will actually a couple days ago, I'll find that out and let you know.
Okay. That's and right. Is there an expectation? So, I know there's public meetings and the surveys. Are there other opportunities for, you know, stakeholders such as CODI members or, you know, other organizations who might have a stake in Sunvan to provide feedback or engage, you know? I know typically COAs engage with some stakeholder involvement, but I just want to know the scope of what you all are thinking.
Yes, right. And so what I described is basically the initial and kind of, substance of the COA. However, in my discussions with marketing staff, they do plan on having some stakeholder, kind of follow-up stakeholder type meetings to present the findings and so forth. And so that I think that's not a part of the initial, input gathering. But I do, my understanding is that there will be some stakeholder meetings planned similar to what they did, I believe, with the SunTrans COA. But there's a process to it, and I believe that will take place a little bit later in the process.
Okay. So the initial process is to gather public feedback through the survey and these public meetings, and then and the internal look at like how Sunvan compares to other paratransit service providers, and then kind of what happens after that.
Well, then the information is evaluated and presented to us, the entity, mm-hmm. And then service recommendations as well are received. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the stakeholder meetings, I don't have a timeline for when they would take place. But again, that's something I can absolutely find out and provide to you.
That would be great. And then just overall, is there like a goal time frame to have the complete comprehensive operational analysis done? Or is it kind of like at this point, there's like a flexible deadline? I'm just trying to understand, like, does this take a year, right. 6 months?
Yeah. Good question. I think the timeline, as I understand it, is fairly rapid with this COA. And that's because I think Sunvan, the information regarding Sunvan is valuable to know, to the city and to other stakeholders, in terms of where we're at now, where do we want to go? So I think my understanding is that the information will be gathered, recommendations made, by May or June, I believe, to the city. So I think it's a fairly rapid timeline.
Okay. I think that, does the COA, not just service improvements, but can service enhancements or additional service options be a part of public comment and suggestions and considerations of the COA? I'm just yes. thinking of prior discussions of an additional service option like they have in some Maricopa County municipalities
In fact, there is that component to the survey. In fact, it's fairly soon in the survey. They just dive into that subject in the general sense, and then a deeper dive a little bit later on in the survey. So it is definitely part of the consideration. That the survey is looking at that part of things, so that possibility. And gathering information in terms of current usage of transportation modes other than Sunvan, for instance, Uber, Lyft, taxis, things like that. And then there's another question about the appetite for such, on the part of the public and also Sunvan users and so on. So.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, given that it, got listed 2 days ago, I hadn't realized that the survey had been up and running, so I hadn't had a chance to take a look.
Right.
Thank you. Do other mm-hmm. commissioners at this point have questions or a follow-up for?
Can I have a clarification on the acronym COA?
Sure. It's a comprehensive operational analysis.
Okay.
It's a mouthful, but yeah, that's it.
I did have a question. What is the expectation after this survey and after the talks? What's a realistic expectation as far as changes into the operations? I know a lot of times in our heads we'd like to think of like complete overhaul, But realistically, like, are we looking at like maybe a 2% improvement, or is that kind of low, kind of high, thinking that that might happen?
Yeah, I really think that's something that we'll have to kind of assess, you know, once the COA is completed, recommendations are made. What are the recommendations? Number one. Number two, what is the capacity for the city and us to implement, you know, those recommendations? Are they going to be incremental in nature as we move towards an ultimate goal, or are they going to be all at once in some ways? We really don't know at this point in time, but I think there's a willingness to, of course, since we're going to this length, to do a COA, to really look seriously at the results and move in a direction that is, you know, that follows the recommendations. So again, though, I really can't say for sure, how to measure that, you know, in terms of percentage or, but I think there needs to be a willingness on the part of us in the city to move in a direction, the directions that are recommended.
Thank you for that, Sean. And, you know, of mm-hmm. course, like, I'm sure any service enhancements or, you know, improvements might need mayor and council's, like, approval or thought through.
Right.
Level, so. Too. Do other commissioners at this point have questions for Sean? Okay. Sean, do you know if there is any others? Like, I know you handle Sun Van, but when I was communicating with Luz Navarrete, she indicated some commissioners had some follow-up questions regarding SunTran, like just access of public busing and some of the recommendations or back and forth conversations Cody has had in the past. Is there representatives from SunTran on the call? I noticed some names that I do not directly recognize.
Well, as I'm looking at the folks on the call, Zach, and I'm not seeing anybody offhand unless somebody's going to jump out of the woodwork here, but I don't see anybody listed here, on the, you know, the call that is from SunTran.
Okay.
Yeah. If you'd like, though, I can follow up with Luz or Cindy and,
yeah. I mean, if you would, that would be great. And then I do apologize to the commissioners on that point. I was fairly clear that was something that we wanted to follow up on in this meeting, since you all reached out. And I recognize this isn't your area, Sean. So thank you for joining us.
Sure. But
my thought is if you know, Sun, like SunTran representatives aren't on the call, today that I will try to follow up with Luz and other folks, that I know are associated with SunTran and get them to join next meeting along with maybe Mr. Cruz to talk about infrastructure and just have time for both of those topics. Cause I know, as a commission, you know, this is kind of what I had tried to build into the agenda today. So I do apologize.
Hi, Zach. My name's Eric Lauda. I'm with the city. Luz sent, invite to me, or to Rhett. She's in another meeting. Rhett is in a budget meeting. I work on compliance. I do a lot of audits. I have the fortunate, ability to get to work with Sean on a lot of stuff. I'm just taking notes on things. Again, I'm with the compliance role. I do a lot of the grant stuff, FTA, the ADOT things for safety. But okay. I don't want SunTran being thrown under the bus.
No.
They're in a lot of different places today. We got staffing shortages and whatnot. So they did ask me to sit in and take notes, but Luz is in a different public meeting. Rhett's in a budget meeting. So I'm not really Suntran, but I am here taking notes, and I'll debrief with them tomorrow if there's anything.
Okay. And
not that Sean can't do that too.
And to be clear, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus.
No pun intended.
I'm just trying to clarify, you know, what's happening, and like, maybe, you know, we recognize that your all's time is valuable. We appreciate our, you know, our citizen and public input.
Without the budget, they can't do all the COA things that are come up. So yeah, everyone's trying, but I am taking notes, and I'll debrief with those folks tomorrow.
So maybe I'll follow up with them anyhow. But like, I know there was a couple commissioners that noted specific interest in talking about Suntran. So, you know, if there are things that you would like Eric to communicate. Maybe now would be the time. Mr. Jordan? I think you might be on mute.
Oh. I am too. Now I've got it very unprofessional of me. Commissioner Jordan is speaking. Mr. Lado, thank you very much for coming along. I think I was one of those people that Chair Zach had mentioned had an interest in Suntran. The commission here received a memorandum dated November 29, 2023, which was a response to the commission's report to Mayor and Council about a number of issues that we had identified with Suntran. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 6 issues, and we're seeking some response to that response. We've noted that a number of the fixes or things that Suntran were going to do to address some of these issues have not actually happened at this stage, and we just like to get an update on all of those 6 points, please.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. So just to make sure I took the notes correctly, you had sent a memo to Suntran on 3/29/23 outlining various issues, and you're still seeking responses about those issues.
You almost got it.
Okay.
We had previous to that sent a report to Mayor and Council, and the response from Suntran was dated November 29, 2023.
Got it.
And we're seeking an update on those responses because we've noted that some of the undertakings have not actually happened as yet.
Perfect. Thank you.
Let me unmute myself. This is Commissioner Coble. I think that is, you know, essentially what we were hoping to, or what we are hoping to speak with, representatives of Suntran about at some point. So just an update on those, those changes, additions that, Suntran outlined in their memo in November, and the progress on those or any barriers that they're encountering at this point. I'm happy to thank you, Eric, and we recognize that it is budget season. That involves, you know, mayor and council involvement, and priorities have to be set. So we appreciate you sitting in, and certainly do not want to just throw a SunTran under the bus. That wasn't the goal of what I was just thinking of next steps.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
So, well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I just want to make sure that that is clearly communicated, you know, among SunTran staff. So great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Cobble.
I am going to go back to the agenda. We're going to move through this quicker than I was anticipating. Maybe there will be more discussion on agenda item number 6. So at this point, I don't know that this needs a vote, but I kind of wanted to provide an update to commissioners. I believe that Commissioner Bogan and I were the only commissioners present, that are on the meeting now for our discussion with Suzette Yazinko, the head of HR for the city in January, which is fine. Typically after, you know, per our recent practice, typically after a meeting, we have written the memos to the mayor and council, regarding issues, as we have done with SunTran and SunBan. I wanted to update the commission that the memorandum regarding HR practices has not been done yet. I will work with Ms. Bogan and Ms. Krager this month to hopefully draft that. I was doing some research on general HR practices and ADA that I wanted to run by them and clarify before we present a report. So that will hopefully be upcoming for, you know, a vote or a look at next meeting. And then the other kind of follow-up I wanted to check in with commissioners today about is, given what we're hearing with SunBan, and then kind of where we're at with SunTran representatives, do you all want to write a memo at this point regarding any of the issues we're hearing about now, or kind of wait to get further into the operational analysis feedback and or speak with SunTran about the issue, like, in follow-up to their memo from November. Does that make
Commissioner
sense?
Commissioner Bogan?
Yeah. Ms. Bogan?
My suggestion would be to keep SunTran and SunBan separate. So if we write a memo to either party, it can be a separate memo. And I had a follow-up question for Mr. Mangan, if he's still on the call. Will there be a report of some sort given to Cody once the COA is complete, or maybe another visit on the Cody, another meeting established?
That I don't know at this point in time, but it certainly can be something a question I pose to the others. I'm sorry, let me get my mic in place here. I don't have an answer offhand to that, but I would assume that there will be some kind of communication with Cody, especially in light of its importance to the city and in the community. So I can pose that question to others on the project and get some clarification. Right now, I honestly can't say in what, you know, when or how that information will be presented, but I would think that that'd be a very important step.
Thank you, Sean, and Ms. Bogan. You know, I as chair, or if I'm not chair at that point, the comprehensive operational analysis is completed. You know, I definitely would advocate for Sunban representatives to meet with us, you know, when at later stages in the COA, so we can provide input or review what is happening with it and the recommendations. And in terms of your recommendation to separate Sunban and Suntran reports, I agree. I see nods of heads in other commissioners. I think my question is, do we as a commission want to write reports on either Sunban or Suntran right now, or, you know, wait to kind of get more, you know, in terms of Sunban, to kind of go through the survey ourselves, maybe, you know, figure out what public input and public meetings look like. And then in terms of Suntran, maybe wait till next meeting to see if we can, speak with Suntran representatives, before writing reports. Mr. Jordan? Muted one.
I muted again. Damn it. As far as Suntran is concerned, I'm really eager to hear from them, but I think we should give Suntran the opportunity at the next meeting to address that response that we received from them and anything else that we've got to say. And failing that, then perhaps I think another report to Mayor and Council expressing our view about that might be the way to go. I'm also interested because Suntran have got a COA going on or has been completed. I know that we had Suntran representatives come and talk to us near the beginning of that process. I think it might be good to hear from about that around the end of the process, perhaps when they've compiled the analysis into a report. Might be a good time to be hearing from them again about that too.
Okay, cool. I tend to agree that, you know, we could wait to consider issuing a report till after next meeting. I think possibly waiting on a Sunban report until we dive into kind of what the survey looks like and what, if we all can, you know, if some of us can attend those public meetings, what those look like kind of engage that way and maybe check back in next month in terms of if we want to start on another memorandum. Mr. Jordan?
I apologize. I have one more thing to say about that. In the Suntran COA, I filled out the survey and I found it leading me in a particular direction. It didn't give me the opportunity to say some of the things that I thought I needed to say. And I'm just hoping that when we have a look, hopefully we'll all go and complete that survey for the Sunban COA, that perhaps the questions are a little more open, that'll allow us to provide our own particular point of view rather than being led in the direction that somebody seemed to want it to go.
Okay.
Again, my opinion.
Great. I'm happy to look at the survey. You know, I think also, you know, attending either the virtual public meetings or the in-person public meetings might provide more room for open feedback, per se. Any other questions in terms of or considerations from commission members on this particular plan of action in terms of waiting for next month to consider whether to write reports or memorandum for Suntran or Sunban? Okay. Hearing none, we can go on to agenda item number, I believe, 7, which is, you know, an update to Cody on the Complete Streets actions in February 2024 and feedback for future reports. You all appointed me last month to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. I'm just going to call it Complete Streets because I'm mouthful. And I wrote a report. Typically there's about 20 members of the Complete Streets and representing various sectors of the community and various commissions. The folks who represent commissions such as Cody typically, you know, give report backs to their commissions on like Complete Streets actions. So that's what I tried to accomplish in this report. I didn't know if you all wanted more details, less details, or, you know, I don't know if I'll do this every month because it's kind of a lot, but, if there's particular things you want to know about, I'm happy to try to ask those questions or provide information. So, open to feedback if you all have any. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Zach. I want to thank you. That's a great report. It's concise. I think it tells us what we need to know without overload of information. And it makes me feel guilty that I have not done the same thing for the Plan Tucson Transport and Mobility Working Group, which I guess now I have to do. You've set the bar kind of high.
You don't have to do it. I appreciate you just reporting back verbally too is great. In the future, I think kind of as I know more about how the council works, there may be times, the thing that we considered last month was, really important. It was section of sidewalk that's 550 feet next to, Casa Elitas and a shopping center, schools. But it was kind of a small budget IDA, like section. There are going to be larger budget sidewalks and infrastructure improvements proposed, that, the team at Complete Streets will probably tell us about and then want us to gather feedback from you all and various constituencies. So in those cases, I will try to provide detailed feedback and accessible feedback as well, accessible reports. So please, if I give reports or don't provide captions well enough or anything of that nature, please let me know. I'm serving on this at the commission's pleasure and, I enjoy it quite a bit. So it's a pleasure for me, but, I recognize that. Anyone else have questions about Complete Streets? Or things they want to, things they want to consider. Okay. If you all don't have questions, great. So I guess we can move on to agenda item number, 8, which is announcements. Do any commissioners have announcements related to disability community action or commission action that they would like, to share at this point? Mr. Jordan?
Thank you. I seem to be talking rather a lot today. I attended Plan Tucson Transportation and Mobility Working Group meeting last Thursday. This was a hybrid meeting. Whoever's organized, I guess somebody in the city of Tucson, had decided that they should go back to having in-person meetings as opposed to, you know, online. The problem with that was I was looking at an hour and a half public transit travel through the meeting and another hour and a half to get back home again, meaning that a two-hour meeting was basically going to be pretty close to all day for me. Though I'm sure there were other people with similar problems. However, say I'll switch that to doing a hybrid meeting. So we had Teams or Zoom, I think it was. I actually find Zoom much easier to use than Teams. That actually worked surprisingly well. It was myself and one other person on Zoom, whilst the rest of the people were at the meeting. It was at the Ward 2 office out on East Broadway in Chris Desborough's neck of the woods. And luckily, I guess, the other person and myself decided to attend. It was the meeting was split into two workshops, and we both attended the same workshop. And it was a lot of policy stuff. I was hoping to dig into the nitty-gritty of the things that Mr. Cruz was talking about very early in the meeting, about sidewalks and bus stops and all of the infrastructure stuff and all of the obstacles that we bump into and trip over and have to dodge around and so forth. Sidewalks that are either, you know, busted up or just missing completely, were never there in the first place. Even bicycle lanes that in some areas of the city are really great, in other areas which were possibly less used, maybe there's a reason for that, are pretty horrible. And bike lanes where people in wheelchairs need to run in when there are no sidewalks, and there are plenty of those places as well. However, if we didn't get into that, it was all about policy, checking out draft policies, and then, you know, and I got to say, I made the comment numerous times that this policy makes no sense, in the sense that it's weird planner English, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word here. Policy English that government people use. And I'm trying to make the point that if you got a regular person off the street, would they understand what your policy actually is? Because I was having difficulty wrapping my head around it. And I think a couple of people were starting to get the point, but it wasted an awful lot of time. And I don't think we really got anywhere too much. A lot of good suggestions to what a good policy might contain, because a policy needs to be short, concise, and very understandable. And I think maybe the next time around we might have something a little bit more intelligible. But I got frustrated because we weren't talking about the things that I thought we needed to talk about, which was that nuts and bolts stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'll keep at it. And next time around, I'll just keep putting my point of view, and hopefully if anybody's got anything that they think might need to be added to the plan Tucson Transportation and Mobility Working Group, this stuff can be found on the web, by the way. There is some information about it. Please let me know through the chair, and I'll bring up those topics in the next meeting.
Awesome. Thank you for that report, Mr. Jordan. Plain language is a disability community value, because things need to be accessible both in terms of format, but also like ability to understand what, you know, what policy is. And, so I am, you know, that also applies to non-disabled people too. We all benefit from plain language. So I'm glad you made that point. And hopefully, you know, if there are specific, you know, maybe, in terms of like next meeting, if there are specific things like the Plan Tucson folks are asking about that, you know, you would like want, commission input or kind of ways to talk about it, you know, maybe we can, create an agenda item to discuss, you know, to discuss that or, you know, just so, you know, I trust you, you do a wonderful job, but just in case if, you know, if it's ever helpful, just let me know. Okay. Cool. Does anyone have any other comments or announcements or things they want to share?
So the first one is that the Tucson Spring Dream Job Fair will be on April 18th, which is for those employers seeking to hire those with disabilities and those with disabilities seeking to find employment. So Sarah Hernandez at Banner Planet Networks is in charge of that. If anyone would like a connection, or feel free to reach out to me and I can forward that information. The other announcement is I will be speaking this Saturday at Lambert Park, for an event, ironically a 5K walk, to raise awareness about Charcot-Marie-Tooth, which is a neuromuscular condition that I have that has me in a wheelchair, but I will be walking anyway, not the full 5K, maybe 5 or 10 steps, but to each to their ability. So yeah. That'll be this Saturday at, 9 a.m. at Lambert Park.
Oh, sounds fun. Thank you for sharing, Mr. Espadas, and thank you for noting the both things, but the Dream Job Fair is, you know, a really important piece for our community for sure, and something that
Commissioner all... Bogan.
Yes, Ms. Bogan.
Where is the Dream Job Fair located? Is that TCC again?
They didn't note where it was, but yeah, in the past it's been in TCC. I'll search through the email to see if there's any information. I know they're kind of just putting things together, but in the past it was at TCC.
Okay, and it's April 16th?
18th.
April 18th.
Correct.
Okay, great. I'll spread the word.
Commissioner Derbyshire?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I don't know if this is the appropriate time to mention this, but I have some issues and questions regarding the transmission of the documents that we got prior to the meeting as commissioners. Is this the appropriate time to talk about that?
Sure. You know, any time you have issues with documents or accessibility, please, you know, talk about it at the time of the
I received four documents from my recollection. One was a Word document, which was the minutes, and then the other three were a copy of the minutes in PDF, and then your statement from the meeting you went to, along with the agenda for today. Those three documents, which were PDF documents, I had to use my own software to optically character recognize each one of the documents so that my text-to-speech reader could read it out loud to me. So they were inaccessible to me in the format that was provided and such, which surprised me considering that this is the Commission on Disabilities. I don't know who manages those documents, but further, I will also note that on the document specifically with the agenda, there was a underlined link that said, click here to join the meeting. Well, there was no hyperlink embedded in that, because I guess I converted it from a text-based document, so that link was lost entirely. And fortunately, I still had saved the emails that I think that's who sent it out, that I received from Stephanie. I guess that's who sent it out. So I'm just pointing out that there's some procedure that needs to be put into place to help folks like myself out. And that's all I've got.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you prefer, are they easier for you to access if they're in PDF or Word, or is there another, is there something else we could look into to using?
Actually, truthfully, Word is actually fantastic because that's truly all text-based, but the link for the meeting would still need to come as, and as a separate hyperlink and unlinked to something if it was just put into the Word document, I would think. I'm just guessing. I have to see what I'm doing. Okay?
Yeah.
Going forward, I'll make sure everything's in PDF and Word, so there'll be a couple documents attached. But if Word works best, I'll definitely start sending everything in Word as well.
And I'd be curious to know, I know Lily, also uses text-to-speech, so I don't know if those would serve her as well. Maybe she could respond to that, too. Thank you.
Yes, this is Commissioner Bogan. In the past, I've always gotten everything in both Word and PDF. I think we've kind of let that habit fall by the wayside, but I know, Stephanie, you're newer to Cody, so that's what we've done in the past.
Okay, yeah, going forward.
I was able to read the PDF. It's not as accessible that as it could be, like in Word.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Mr. Jordan, and then I have like one other comment, but go ahead, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, thank you. And Stephanie, what this is it's about the conversion process from Word to PDF. Previously, the PDFs came as like a proper PDF. These ones, the most recent ones, and I had exactly the same problem, the hyperlinks don't work, is that they're being, I think, printed from Word to PDF. And so it prints like a picture. So you can't, you have to do optical character recognition. But if it's print, and I'm looking at my own copy of Word and I can't see where to do it. I think you've got to do a save as or something like that. Save to PDF, not print to PDF. They're a completely different method of conversion.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. And typically, when I write a document, as commission chair, I'll take responsibility. Typically, when I write a document such as my complete streets report, like I do write it and send it to city staff such as Stephanie in Word. I'll make sure that occurs and that both copies are available. And please, let me know if, the report itself, even in Word, is inaccessible or could be better. Happy to make things as accessible as possible, technically possible. So, thank you. Any other last comments before we adjourn?
Yeah, just really quickly, I did find out that the Dream Fair will be at the Kino Sports Complex on the 18th. I'd also just like to say as well, as far as the PDF document, or Word document issue, this is one of the reasons I appreciate this commission. Like, it's learning for myself. Like, when both versions were being sent out, to be honest, I was like, why are they sending it in two formats? And I didn't stop to think that, the readers on all that. And so, I think it speaks to why we need this commission is because we all have our individual experiences and perspectives. And, I don't realize someone that with a visual impairment needs something in a particular format because I don't. Whereas the same thing, like, you may not realize I need a sidewalk in a certain way because you're not thinking about the wheelchair accessibility. So it's a great opportunity to collaborate and to gain new perspectives of what everybody needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to respond, you know, that's part of building community and disability community power is like recognizing each other's needs and like knowing that our access needs are similar, can be similar and our experiences can be similar, but like our access needs can be different depending on our disability experience as well. So appreciate that share, Mr. Espadas. If there's no other comments or announcements, I will call this meeting adjourned at 4:48 p.m. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.